Hello everyone, it's Mark Goodacre here. Welcome to the NT Pod, the podcast all about the New Testament and Christian origins. It's episode 119, and today I'm going to be exploring how often did Paul go to Jerusalem? Studying Pauline chronology is one of those really challenging things in New Testament scholarship. Some people see it as even more complex than the synoptic problem. One of my teachers, Ed Sanders, used to warn people about studying Pauline chronology. He used to warn people about studying the synoptic problem. And I must admit, because I was already really interested in looking at the synoptic problem, Pauline chronology appealed to me as a similar potential challenge. The difficulty, in large part, is that there are all sorts of tensions between Paul's undoubtedly authentic epistles and Acts of the Apostles. So the question is, how do we align these things? How do we line up Paul's own witness in his epistles with Acts? And there are further difficulties around this whole thing because Paul's epistles are occasional and that means, you know, they're written for a particular purpose at a particular time to a particular audience. So it makes it really difficult when he isn't telling us stuff that we want to know about. But then also when he does tell us stuff, sometimes it seems to be in tension with Acts, as I was saying. So how do we deal with this? One way of honing in on one of the key issues is to look at the question of how often Paul went to Jerusalem. How often in Acts? And how often in the epistles? Now, broadly speaking, in Acts of the Apostles, he seems to visit Jerusalem 5 times. Whereas broadly speaking, in the epistles, it's 3 times. And let me clarify here that when we're talking about this, we're not talking about the pre-conversion, pre-call visits to Jerusalem. We're purely talking about the stuff that happened after he had his transformative encounter with Jesus. So in Acts, as soon as he's had that encounter in Acts chapter 9, he goes straight to Jerusalem at the end of Acts chapter 9. Then in chapter 11, he goes again, 11:25-30. And then in chapter 15, we get the Jerusalem Council. So that's visit number 3. Then we get a really brief mention of a visit in 18:22. That's visit number 4. And then finally, he goes to Jerusalem in Acts 21 and following, which is where he gets arrested and all sorts of shenanigans then unfold. So 5 times in Acts of the Apostles. Now let's look at Paul's letters. In Paul's letters, Galatians 1, he says that he first went to Jerusalem after 3 years. That's visit number 1. Then he says that he went to Jerusalem again after 14 years. That's in Galatians 2. So that's visit number 2. Then when you look at Romans 15, you can see that he is about to go to Jerusalem. That's visit number 3. So we've got the 5 visits in Acts of the Apostles, the 3 visits in Paul's letters. Now, there are, of course, problems around harmonising. One of the problems with trying to harmonise one account with another is that you can end up with a story that actually is less true to either source than it is to both of them. So we do this all the time when we're looking at the Synoptic Gospels and John. When did Jesus cleanse the temple? Did he cleanse it at the end of his career as you have in the Synoptics or right at the beginning as you have in John's Gospel? So we're always dealing with these sorts of questions. If you try and harmonise Acts and Paul, which lots of people have done across history, you generally end up preferring Acts of the Apostles because it's got the fuller story, and then you kind of slot in details from Paul. The difficulty with doing that is some of the details simply look irreconcilable. The clearest one to begin with is that first visit. When did Paul first visit Jerusalem after the occasion of his call or conversion? Let's have a look at Galatians 1. Galatians 1, 15-20. But when God, who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. Notice, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem, to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Then, 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Kephas, stayed with him for 15 days, but I did not see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, in what I am writing to you, I assure you before God that I'm not lying. The reason this is so striking is that Paul is utterly insistent that he did not go straight to Jerusalem. The first visit, when he becomes acquainted with people like Kephas and with James, Jesus's brother, this first visit happens after 3 years. Now, you never quite know when someone says after 3 years. Do they mean like bits of 3 years? So it could actually just be like a year and a couple of months, or is it a whole 3 years? Paul isn't that precise. Either way, he certainly doesn't seem to be narrating a visit that happens immediately. Now, the way that John Knox, Gert Ludemann, my colleague here at Duke, Douglas Campbell, deal with this is they prefer a kind of letter-based chronology where you really prefer Paul's account of things and only turn secondarily to Acts of the Apostles. So what you do here is you say, Paul, we have to believe Paul. Galatians 1, he goes to Jerusalem after 3 years. That's that. And Acts is just kind of manufacturing another visit, or it's telling it early or something like that. So that's what you have to sort of push at. Now, I'm basically in agreement with John Knox and others like him that an Acts-based chronology has its problems, because Luke is such a heavily schematized writer. He likes to tell things in panels. He likes to deal with one thing and then move on to the next topic. So we have to sort of watch out for Luke. But I do also want to kind of push back a little bit against the letters-based chronology in the sense that we only go for the letters or just primarily go for the letters, because sometimes there are really interesting things you have to bear in mind. One of them is we might be trusting Paul himself a bit too much if we go for a solely letter-based chronology, because our memories are notoriously volatile. All of us have things in our memories that didn't actually happen, or that are warped versions of what actually happened. And it's entirely possible that Paul's memory is faulty. Memories can be particularly faulty if you're feeling very passionate about something, and Paul has this big ego and he feels very passionate at this moment. John Knox actually pointed out that he swears an oath here. In fact, Knox sort of makes fun of this in the sense that he says, well, it's like Paul had a premonition that someone was going to doubt that he went to Jerusalem at this point. And so he says he was tempted to swear an oath because of that. Knox, of course, doesn't actually think that. The swearing of an oath is all about Paul trying to distance himself from the Jerusalem leaders at this point. Yeah, so, you know, sometimes if you're the kind of person that keeps a diary or retains old emails, you'll often notice that your memory of an event that is actually faulty when you go back and check the details. So there's that phenomenon. The other aspect in which we might want to push back a little bit against John Knox and co. is that Acts itself represents itself as first-person testimony at key points. Admittedly not at this point when we're looking at Paul's first visit to Jerusalem, but later on we do have first-person testimony. Now that, of course, lots of people think is fictional or apocryphal or pseudepigraphical, but either way, you have to acknowledge that Acts represents itself as being written by someone who is an eyewitness to events. But let's dig down into the detail a little more. In Galatians 1:18, Paul visits Jerusalem after 3 years. In Acts chapter 9, he goes straight after the Damascus visits, Acts 9:26. But what I find interesting here is that if you look carefully at the way that Luke describes the events in Acts 9:26-27, he doesn't say, then Paul went to Jerusalem, or immediately he went to Jerusalem. What he actually says is, when he had come to Jerusalem, this is Acts 9:26. Now, this might sound like I'm splitting hairs, but I think with Luke, you have to watch him, because he will occasionally narrate something early. I think this is a kind of a flash forward. I think that the author of Acts of the Apostles knows that the first visit of Paul to Jerusalem was not straight away. But what he wants to do is he wants to narrate it at this point, and he narrates it in such a way as to say when he did go. And if you read Acts 9 carefully, you'll see that in 9:23, he says, after many days had gone by. So how much is many days? I mean, Luke does like to exaggerate. So this could be the same visit that Paul's narrating in Galatians 1. Luke has allowed that there's many days. And do you know what? There's a detail there that people frequently miss. And it's that in Acts 9:25, when Luke is narrating Paul's escape from Damascus, the famous story about coming over the city wall in the basket, what Luke says is that Paul was helped out by his disciples. Now, this is curious. How can Paul already have disciples in Acts 9:25 when he's only just become part of this movement? What it suggests is Luke is narrating a later story earlier. It's like a flash forward, if you like. Are there parallels to Luke doing this elsewhere? Yes, there are. Think of the gospel. Luke 4:16-30, we get the story of the rejection at Nazareth. Now, that story appears much later on in Mark and Matthew. It's in Mark 6, it's in Matthew 13. But Luke narrates it right at the beginning. He's pulled it forward. He does the same thing with the story of the anointing of Jesus, which is told right towards the end of Matthew's and Mark's Gospels. It's in Mark 14 and Matthew 26. But in Luke, it's in 7:36-50, pushed right early. So Luke will tell things when he thinks it's right to tell them in his narrative order. So I think that the first visit of Paul to Jerusalem can easily have been the same one, Acts 9, 25, 26, 27, etc. That's the same one as we get in Galatians 1. So how does this help us with working out the whole business about how many times Paul was in Jerusalem? Well, if Acts 9 is a kind of flash forward to the visit that Paul is narrating in Galatians 1, that means that the actual narration of it is in Acts 11, 25 and following. And that kind of fits. That works all right. So really what Luke is doing is he's narrating that same thing twice, first in Acts 9 and then in Acts 11, which then means that the second visit, the one that Paul talks about in Galatians 2, that one aligns closely with Acts 15. And it needs to align closely with Acts 15 because both of them seem to be talking about the same stuff. The question about should Gentile converts to this new movement be circumcised? Should the male converts be circumcised? And there are so many points of contact between Acts 15 and Galatians 2, including the personnel, Paul and Barnabas. And at the end of the story in Acts 15, we have a fascinating story all about Paul and Barnabas kind of pulling apart, just as you get in Galatians 2. I mean, the reasons are different. In Acts 15, it's because of a kind of dispute around John Mark. And so Barnabas goes one way and Paul goes the other way. But in Galatians 2, it's Barnabas departs from Jesus departs from Paul. I mean, Paul sort of departs from Jesus, but Barnabas departs from Paul because of hypocrisy. But those things, I think, are plenty compatible. In fact, there's a lovely old television film in which Anthony Hopkins plays Paul and Herbert Lom plays Barnabas. And what they do is they harmonise those two things so that you get the hypocrisy, the insincerity, and you also get the moment about John Mark. A lot of people won't be satisfied with this reading, though, because what they will say is that the details in Acts 15 are just too different from the details in Galatians 2. I mean, for example, Titus is prominent in Galatians 2, whereas he doesn't seem to appear in Acts 15, although there's potentially an interesting way of dealing with that one, which we'll have to return to in a future episode of the podcast. And sometimes you get this. I mean, different accounts of similar events can differ radically. I mean, I've just mentioned the rejection at Nazareth. Luke's version is so different from Mark and Matthew's that some scholars start saying, well, it came from a different source, it's a different event, and so on. But Most people say no, it's the same event, just narrated differently. To me, what's remarkable is how similar Acts 15 is to Galatians 2. By the way, that still leaves us with one extra visit, the one in Acts 18:22. I think that's the true location of what Acts is narrating in Acts 15. In other words, Acts 15 as well pulls the story forward in the narrative. And there are other reasons that that correlates beautifully with an epistolary biography of Paul. I'd love to return to this topic in a future episode of the podcast, but thanks very much for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. You can find me on the web at podacre.blogspot.com. You can watch this on YouTube at Podacre, and I hope to be back again soon with another episode. Bye-bye.